WCFW HD2 Chippewa Falls, W228EP Eau Claire,
and streaming everywhere on the Civic Media app.
This is CBS News on the Hour, sponsored by O'Reilly Auto Parts.
I'm Michael Toscano. New York Attorney General Letitia James is under federal indictment, charged in Virginia with bank fraud and making false statements to a financial institution. She's pushing back.
We will fight these baseless charges aggressively, and my office will continue to fiercely protect New Yorkers and their rights. And I will continue to do my job.
CBS News legal contributor Rebecca Royfe looks at the government's case.
She was being investigated for fraud having to do with a Virginia property that she was buying for her niece that she suggested apparently on the application or at one point that it was going to be her primary residence. Her lawyers have claimed subsequently that she quickly corrected that.
The indictment follows President Trump's public order to the Justice Department to prosecute political foes, including James. She won a fraud case against the Trump Organization in 2022. A restraining order from a federal judge is in effect for 14 days, blocking President Trump's order sending National Guard troops into Chicago. Correspondent Nicole Skanga is following that.
We're likely to see an appeal from the U.S. government, but in the meantime, there are roughly 20 members of the National Guard deployed at ICE's Broadview facility for the first time. They will be temporarily taken off mission, and in total, there were 500 activated troops, including those from Texas, 200, and those from Illinois, 300. They're in limbo.
The Israeli government has now given official approval to the framework with Hamas for the release of all the remaining hostages in Gaza. Correspondent Nancy Cordes reports from the White House, if the Trump peace plan holds, it could be a major foreign policy achievement.
Israel and Hamas have agreed on a multi-phase plan before.
Phase one will last 6 weeks.
The closing days of the Biden administration.
It includes a full and complete ceasefire.
But that plan fell apart in March after Israel and Hamas clashed over terms for a permanent end to the war. 7 months since have seen some of the war's fiercest fighting.
People want to see this work. It's going to work. It's absolutely going to work.
Israel was expected to start withdrawing its forces in Gaza to a, quote, agreed-upon line as soon as the Israeli government approved that deal. The government shutdown here affects things you might not have known could be affected or even existed. CBS's David Schechter tells us that includes efforts to release black-footed ferrets and endangered species back into the wild.
Only about 300 black-footed ferrets survive in the wild, and a planned release of 400 more is now on hold with federal biologists furloughed. Fall is a crucial season for young ferrets to learn to hunt and mate before winter.
This is CBS News.
Think O'Reilly Auto Parts for all your car care needs. Get the parts and service you need fast from the professional parts people at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
You're listening to 93.5 The Tap, home for Matt and Nair on air weekdays from 9 to 11 a.m.
Concern about injured Packers. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. The Green Bay Packers host the Cincinnati Bengals on Sunday, kickoff at 3:25. Matt LaFleur was asked why the team's place kicker, Brandon McManus, has been added to the injury list.
Brandon McManus listed on the injury report. I'm assuming it's from those tackles that he had to make in the game.
This is not from the tackles, no. Yeah, that's a major concern right now. So we'll see how he's doing today and tomorrow, and you know we'll have a plan ready to go.
I asked McManus what happened to him and the injury to his kicking leg.
I was kicking, warming up. I had kickoffs earlier in the day, and then I was warming up for field goals. I kind of felt a tug against my quad. I gave it a couple minutes, tried again. I just shut it down for the day. Yeah, didn't want to make it worse.
Baseball: Brewers against the Cubs tonight at Wrigley Field. If Milwaukee wins, they advance to the National League Championship. Next week. If they lose, it's game 5 in Milwaukee this coming Saturday. With sports, on Mike Clemens.
You're listening to 93.5 The Tap, home for the Todd Allball Show, weekday afternoons from 2 to 4.
I'm meteorologist Mace Michaels. Tonight, mostly cloudy, an isolated shower or two, and a low in the low 50s. Sun's back for tomorrow and Saturday. Highs in the mid-60s. Highs in the upper 60s and breezy with increasing clouds Sunday and another shower chance. Currently 51 degrees.
Todd Alba.
Hey everybody, you've heard the voice, First and 10 Wisconsin, and Ron Dane. Now meet the man behind the voice, Mike Mankey, Badger PA announcer, in studio with us next time.
The Todd Alba Show, weekdays 2 to 4.
This is Robert Pilot, host of Native Roots Radio. On our show, we talk about Native issues like treaties, protecting Mother Earth, and holding our elected officials accountable. You'll also hear from Turtle Island voices like Arvina Martin, State Representative Heather Keeler, Ruth Anna Buffalo, Dr. Anthony Stately, State Senator Mary Kunish, Robert Lilligren, and Bob Blake. Native issues are human issues, and human issues are Native issues.
Native Roots Radio, weeknights at 8 on your local Civic Media radio station.
Doctors Without Borders is delivering life-saving medical care where it's needed most in communities around the world. From bandaging war-wounded patients in Sudan to providing clean drinking water in Haiti, we're in more than 70 countries worldwide, bringing patients from sick to recovering, from emergency to aid, from crisis to care. This life-saving care is made possible by a global movement of supporters like you. Thank you.
This is 93.5 The Tap.
You're listening to pre-recorded content.
Good afternoon, everybody. I'm Todd Alba in the Civic Media Newsroom at the World Headquarters in Madison, Wisconsin. It is 6 minutes past the hour of 2 o'clock. We bring you a breaking news story at this time as we come onto the air here at 2 o'clock or just after 6 after 2 in the afternoon. We are following an evolving story, a fluid story out of Milwaukee, Wisconsin this afternoon. A couple of different sources for you. And interesting, and I want to emphasize this is fluid because if you look at the WISN Channel 12 story out of Milwaukee Television and then the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel story, two slightly different versions, or at least two different perspectives coming out. I'm going to give you both of them, and again, our newsroom here at Civic Media will continue to follow this. But according to WISN Channel 12 this morning, a deadly police shooting happened after a minor traffic collision on Milwaukee's northwest side at 8 o'clock this morning near 49th Street and West Mill Road in Milwaukee. According to Milwaukee Police Chief Jeffrey Norman, a 40-year-old off-duty officer with 21 years of service was involved in a vehicle accident while driving to work. Quote, both drivers pulled over and exited their vehicles as they were assessing the accident. The driver of the other vehicle approached the off-duty officer and pulled a firearm, Norman said. That subject proceeded to strike the off-duty officer in the face with his firearm. The off-duty officer drew his department-issued firearm, and the two individuals exchanged gunfire, and the subject was struck, unquote. The other driver, identified by family as 26-year-old Elijah Wilkes, died at the scene. No other injuries from gunfire were reported. Norman said the officer was taken to a hospital for treatment. When asked about the specific nature of the officer's injuries, the chief declined to provide further details, only stating that the officer, quote, is getting checked out at the hospital at this time. WISN 12 News investigative reporter James Stranton asked about video evidence since the involved officer, who was in plain clothes, did not have a body camera. However, Norman said there is video, very clear video, of this incident, unquote. Video footage of the incident will be released according to standard operating procedures, operating procedure 575, according to Norman. Now, according to the chief, both individuals exchanged gunfire, but did not specify who fired first. He only mentioned this as an ongoing investigation and that a firearm was recovered at the scene. That is the story from Channel 12 News, WISN in Milwaukee. I don't want to overstate this, but a slightly different perspective coming out of Milwaukee Journal Sentinel at this hour. Now, here's what the Journal Sentinel wrote about the same incident. It said that both men exited their vehicles. The driver drew a gun, hit the off-duty officer in the face with it. Then the driver and officer exchanged fire. Again, the same story, saying it's unknown who fired shots first. Video circulated widely on social media after the aftermath of the shooting. and there was a man down on the ground in front of the car, and another man stood holding a gun, according to the Journal Sentinel. At the shooting scene, Shania Staples told the Journal Sentinel that the deceased man was her cousin, Elijah Wilkes. She and others who gathered at the situation apparently began as a traffic crash. A friend, who identified herself only as Unique, told reporters at the scene that she was on a video call with Wilkes when she heard him say, quote, "someone just hit my car," unquote, and he got out of his car. Afterwards, she heard two gunshots and a voice shouted, quote, unquote, "get on the ground." Alexa Alaya, president of the Milwaukee Police Association, said the officer was taken to the hospital for injuries to his face as a result of the incident. It goes on from there. Again, the Journal Sentinel, it has more people who claim to be on-site witnesses to this and some more of the relatives of the deceased on here. But going to be very interesting to continue to follow this. Of course, there's loss of life, which is also always tragic. But there seems to be kind of two narratives, one that they got into an argument and the other that the off-duty Milwaukee police officer was essentially pistol-whipped before gunshots were fired, or there was gunfire. So going to be very interesting. We'll continue to follow this. Again, at this hour, there was a shooting, officer-involved shooting, off-duty officer-involved shooting in Milwaukee today after an apparent traffic crash in which the civilian and the off-duty officer got into a discussion. Allegedly, the officer was assaulted, and he pulled his weapon and fired, killing the suspect or the other person involved in this shooting. Civic Media News will continue to follow this throughout the day, right now at 11 past the hour of 2 o'clock. I'm Todd Allbaugh for Civic Media News.
From the Civic Media World Headquarters in Madison, Wisconsin, it's the Todd Allbaugh Show. And now, pursuing truth wherever it may lead, here's your host, Todd Allbaugh.
Across Wisconsin on the Civic Media Radio Network and streaming worldwide on the Civic Media app. Good afternoon, everybody. Todd Allbaugh along Mr. Aaron Zommers on the board. It is 12 minutes now past the hour of 3 o'clock on this Thursday, October 9th, 2025. It is a great day to be a Wisconsinite. Glad to have you along, everybody. Zommers on the board from the world headquarters at Civic Media here on a beautiful afternoon. And skies are blue at the intersection of State Street and Fairchild here in downtown Madison. We'll continue to follow that top news story out in Milwaukee. But a big show for you today. Zommers, let's go back to camera one for a second here. Big show for you today. Coming up in hour two of the program, we are going to give away, yes, here on the set, the beautiful movie poster of No Packers, No Life. We are going to give you a chance in the 3 o'clock hour to win tickets to the world premiere of No Packers, No Life on the 5th showing at the Marcus Theater, the Majestic Theater, which is the Marcus Theater, in Brookfield, Wisconsin, same place as Just a Bit Outside was premiered. And we're going to be there live next Wednesday for the big premiere. Sean Hannish, Paul Jaconi Berry, and others will be there. Former Packers, Antonio Freeman, I believe, is going to be on hand. And so we're going to bring you that world premiere from Brookfield next week. But today, in the 3 o'clock hour, we are going to give away two tickets valued at over $100 to be at that world premiere party next Wednesday with us, with the filmmakers, with former Packers, and be some of the first to see this great new film about Japanese Packers fans who have a big association making the trip to the Mecca, Lambeau Field, here in Green Bay. It's a hilarious, heartwarming, it's a great film. And Sean Hannish is going to join us in hour two via StreamYard to talk a little bit more about that as well. At the bottom of the hour, we are going to be joined by a member of Wisberg, who is going to be here talking about, are you a Windows 10 user, a Microsoft user? Apparently, they're looking at getting rid of all support for Microsoft Windows 10. I'm an Apple guy, so it doesn't really affect me, but I know a lot of people do, so we're going to be talking with them at the bottom of this hour about what's going on legislative wise to protect people who have Windows 10. And of course, we have a what's worse for you today involving pizza. And we're going to hear a little bit. Yes, the Cubbies actually managed to put one together and win one 4-3 over the Crew last night in Milwaukee. Going to hear from Quinn Priester, Pat Murphy, Craig Council on that. And Todd finally agrees with Marjorie Taylor Greene. I'm going to explain this in just a little bit. But first of all, joined here at the desk in a surprise Thursday appearance, the one, the only, Trygvielsen. How about that, Trygvie?
I'll tell you what, there's perks to being in studio, Todd.
Right?
But I'm still late.
But you got the right apparel on. You're here. Your oldest daughter's checking out the University of Wisconsin-Madison to go to college.
Yeah. Yep, it's true. And we're going to go to a Packer game.
Going to go to a Packer.
We were supposed to go to jump around, but then, you know, ESPN went and changed the time of the game, which kind of made it convoluted.
We'll jump for you.
You know, I was just over wandering around the state capitol, Todd, and I was kind of reminiscing with Kaya because Willow was having a call. She had a call. And, dude, 31 years since we were working together there. Time gone?
I know.
And it's still just absolutely beautiful.
You've traveled a lot more than I have.
I've been to 42 state capitals.
And how does this work?
It's the best of the bunch.
Yeah.
Now, it wasn't always that way. Remember, it was a little bit like some of the churches in the former Soviet Union where they had to go back in and take off all the paint that had been put over and whatever. But like that money that Tommy, do you remember how much controversy there was around that?
Huge amount of controversy.
Like Tommy and Fred Risser were like, we got to do this. It was the best of Republicans and Democrats. I mean, literally, Fred Risser was Red Fred was his nickname, right? Like, but they were like, state capital of Wisconsin needs to be restored. And thank God they did that.
And for those that don't know, Fred Risser was at one time the longest serving state legislator in America and was the longtime Senate president as a Democrat. And of course, Tommy Thompson, Republican governor. But you're right. They both understood the significance of restoring and preserving Wisconsin history in the state capital. And they remember they had the scaffolding up. I used Q-tips to clean the
toothbrushes. It's great. They literally remember when they were working on the marble with toothbrushes, and then there was something about the doorknobs. They had to find like a world class brass maker to restore them to what they were. They had like one handle, and they replicated. But that just walking around there, absolutely beautiful.
Yeah.
And actually, the one cop who was there, he was probably working there when I was working there.
some of those folks have been there for a while, right?
No, he's been there a long time. And it was interesting because we were talking about so the other thing that jumped out at me, and shout out to him, Tim Carpenter is still in the state senate.
He is. He's still there. Getting
He's in the state legislature. I remember when we won a special election. So anyway, it was kind of a. Kaya was having to listen to me be the old guy, but it's true.
No, I'm so glad you mentioned the state capitol because it is one of those things that makes Wisconsin great. And the fact that those are the things that draw us together. Tommy and Fred Risser did that. And now you've got Tommy and former Democratic Governor Jim Doyle working on the new State Historical Society building right across the street here at the top of State Street. And they're completely redoing that and raise money in a bipartisan manner for that.
That's like cats and dogs living together in the street, man. Right? That's biblical that Jim Doyle and Tommy are working together on something. That should tell you everything you need to know. I mean,
right.
They're wearing green and gold, man. They're not wearing red and blue.
Well, speaking of green and gold, you want to come back next Wednesday? We're going to be down for this new premiere, the No Packers, No Life.
Oh, I can't come back for it. But tell me more about this.
It's a brand new film. It debuted Wisconsin Film Festival. And I can't give you the exact name of the filmmaker, per se.
Craig Benzine was the director.
All right, very good. Craig Benzine was the director. But our friend Sean Hannish and Paul Jaconi Berry, who are two of the three producers on the Brewer film,
just about outside.
They are the ones that are distributing and helping produce this. And so it's the story of this American guy who is in Tokyo and meets at that big intersection there a guy wearing a Packers shirt, a Japanese guy, and he quietly goes, "Go Pack, go." And the Japanese guy goes, "Go Pack, go." And they go, "Go Pack, go." Goes, "Go Pack, go. And he goes, where are you? He goes, we have this Packer party. You should come with us. And so the American guy gets invited, and there's this whole, like, subculture of Packer fans in Japan. And then this Wisconsin guy helps bring them to Wisconsin, to Lambeau, for a game.
That's so good.
Yeah.
I have to see that.
Yeah, it'd be fantastic.
By the way, I saw just a bit outside.
We'll come back. It's Trigby's review of Just a Bit Outside, and maybe talk just a little bit of politics as well. Stay with us. It's the All Ball Show for a Thursday on the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to 93.5 The Tap, Eau Claire, the Valley's home of Nightlight with Peach Wabba.
The Maggie Dawn Show.
State Senator Jeff Smith. We're talking about the Veteran Housing and Recovery Program. Republicans blocked funding for this.
They instead sent the governor a 16-page letter blaming him for this problem. Well, it was in his budget. Once the budget is out of his office and in their hands, it's up to them. Our job is to manage the funding. We could do it, but the governor can't. So it's avoiding our own responsibility by not addressing that.
The award-winning Maggie Dawn Show. Weekday afternoons from 4 until 6.
As veterans, we're no strangers to helping others.
That's what we were taught, service before self.
But we do have one question for the veterans listening.
When is the last time you reached out for help?
If you or someone you know needs resources, whether it's for stress, finances, employment, or mental health, don't wait. Reach out.
Find more information at va.gov/reach. That's va.gov/reach.
Brought to you by the United States Department of Veterans Affairs and the Ad Council.
Mornings with Pat Kreitlow.
I like these organized mazes much, much better. On our street, there were these triplets, and the triplets were like 3 or 4 years old. We were just talking with the neighbors, and next thing we know, the triplets are gone. They thought we were playing hide and seek, so even though we're calling for them in the cornfield, they're not calling back. And that was a crazy 20 minutes, a fearful 20 minutes with the sun going down until we found them.
Mornings with Pat Kreitlow, weekdays 6 to 9 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
Is getting vaccinated on your to-do list? We can help you check that off.
You've got this.
Yes, you do. See how we've got you at yougotthis.usaging.org. A message from the Aging and Disability Vaccination Collaborative, powered by U.S. Aging.
Missed your favorite show live on air? It's easy to find what you enjoy wherever you listen to podcasts, including Spotify, Apple, and Google Podcasts. And we're always streaming on TuneIn and the Civic Media app.
93.5 The Tap, Eau Claire's real news and great conversation, and home for the Todd Allball Show, Monday through Friday from 2 to 4.
Local news, weather, and sports on air and streaming on the Civic Media app. This is the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to pre-recorded content.
Welcome back to the Todd Allball Show, the Civic Media Radio Network. 22 now past the hour of 2 o'clock here on Thursday, October 9th. Glad to have you along. Trigby Olson is here in studio with us. He was just here yesterday from D.C., and now he's here live in person at the desk. And I think your two lovely daughters are coming to the studio as well. Yep. Look at the in Badger and the Union shirt. How about that, ladies? That's fantastic. That's great. Very good. How are you guys doing? Well, we're fantastic. Talk a little bit about, and of course, you guys are out here doing a little visiting for college, right?
Yeah. Sorry, that was for me.
Well,
Ula is looking at the University of Wisconsin. So,
well, that's great. That's great. Yeah. And we're just talking. In hour two, we're going to give away. Sean Hannish is going to be here, one of the producers, this new film, No Packers, No Life. Trigby just saw the trailer during the break. And what did you think?
Oh, phenomenal. Phenomenal. In fact, we're going to have to watch that, ladies. It coincides very well with our little adventure to go see the Packers play in all these places. But I will tell you, there are Packer bars all across Europe. I know that from when I was living over there.
Really?
Yeah.
Well, that's awesome. That's amazing. Have you watched a game in one?
I never have, but I know there are Packer bars in Munich, Germany. I know has one,
and you've,
and
even though you're
a bunch of them in London.
You're a Twins fan. You you broke down and watched just a bit outside the store of the 82 Brewers. What do you think?
You know what I've forgotten about is the fact they traded for Don Sutton and how big that was in sort of that run that they had, and then Raleigh Fingers getting hurt. Right. Like you kind of think if Raleigh Fingers doesn't get hurt, they probably win the World Series that year.
Yeah. 100%.
But the movie is great because it captures the essence of Milwaukee. And but not only that, kind of the heart and soul of it. But what I found so interesting is having been in Milwaukee, you know, during the convention, because we were you and I were doing the show from there. I hadn't spent time in Milwaukee in a long time. And I remember how it was when I was working in politics here back in the early, you know, 90s, mid-90s. And Milwaukee has come back, you know. And it's one of those things that is so crazy about we're going to deploy troops to these American cities and that they're war zones.
Yeah.
Like I was in Chicago. We were in Chicago, too. Yeah. I mean, Chicago literally was just rated the number one big city to live in. It's phenomenal.
Right.
I was in Portland. Like this is kind of, you know, it's insane. But that Brewers movie really gets to, you know, Milwaukee was not such a great place then, and you didn't have anybody wanting to call it the National Guard. What did they do? They all rallied around the Milwaukee Brewers, Rockin' Robin and the whole crew.
Yeah, it was really great. Let's get it.
By the way, quick thing, Trigvy, do you want a DVD copy of the movie? Because I bought one and was gifted one.
Oh, yeah, sure.
Well, right. We'll figure that out. Yeah.
Ula, DV, and Kaya, DVD is a technology that old people like Zomers have that you put in a machine.
Oh, yeah, right.
Old folks like me, yeah.
Right. Let's. I want to get comments from the girls, but I want to get your comment, Trigvy, on this. Don't often agree with Marjorie Taylor Greene. She was on CNN. They asked her about the House not being in session, Congress being shut down, and how it related to the Epstein files.
The Jeffrey Epstein files, wanting to release those. I know Democrats have also been calling for that, a few other Republicans as well. The Democrats are accusing Speaker Johnson of delaying the swearing in of Arizona's Democratic Congresswoman-elect because she would give the last vote needed to release those Epstein files. I'm wondering, you know, the Speaker for his part, he has denied that. He said it's because of the shutdown. Have you spoken to him? Do you think she should be sworn in right away?
Well, I'll say it like this. I can't conclusively say if that's why the House is not in session, but the House should be in session. And the House should be in session for many reasons. We have appropriation bills that need to get passed. There is a new Democrat that's been elected that does deserve to be sworn in. Her district elected her. We have other bills that we need to be passing. And if it's to avoid the discharge petition, why drag this out? That is going to have 218 signatures. And so I say go ahead and do it and get it over with.
Trigvy?
Yeah, there may be a lot of people who disagree with me on this, given our listenership. But this is the thing, as somebody, and this is the jaded political operative side of me. I suspect Marjorie Taylor Greene's not necessarily my cup of tea, but she reads tea leaves, and she knows where the wind's blowing. And I think, and Ted Cruz is another one who does. And if you start looking at the ones who are making nuanced breaks from Trump on things, whether it's Epstein,
Kimmel.
Kimmel, whether Rand Paul is doing it, these are politicians who primarily want to be, but they're also very adept at reading the room. Mm-hmm. And I think it says her moving to where she's at says that she fully understands that when that vote happens, and I don't think Mike Johnson can keep it from happening forever, when that vote happens, there are going to be a major dam break, and it's a problem. And I will tell you the other thing, place where there are Republicans beyond just the usual suspects who are starting to get nervous and starting to say things, you know, at things that I go to there, and maybe not publicly yet, is the deployment of National Guard troops. Yeah. And I was thinking as we were driving up here, you have noticed – where are the cities that he's sending the National Guard troops? I mean, what kind of states are they in?
Well, blue
they're
states,
all in deep blue states. Yeah. He isn't sending the National Guard to Milwaukee. He isn't sending the – I don't know that he's going to do that. Philadelphia. Mm. You don't hear him talking about Philadelphia. I don't think he's going to send him to the purple states because I think he wants to run again.
Oh, God. On that note, girls, Ula, Kaya, favorite parts of Wisconsin that you want to get? You got 30 seconds that you want to visit while you're here.
Hello, world. My favorite part of Wisconsin is Culver's. And my friends who are from Wisconsin are really jealous that I'm here because they were like, bring us back some Culver's. And I was like, nah, I'm just going to eat it all on the way back.
All right.
My favorite part about Wisconsin is probably seeing family, friends, and just family stuff and food. Oh, cheese curds.
That's
and
great.
And especially you, Mr. Todd.
Oh, look at those girls. Trigby paid it well. No, they're fantastic. Kaya, Ula, Trigby, thanks for stopping by. Back after this, don't go anywhere. Farm News is next on the Civic Media Radio Network.
93.5 The Tap.
You're listening to 93.5 The Tap, home for the Maggie Dawn Show, Monday through Friday from 4 to 6 p.m.
CBS News brief. Trump political foe, New York Attorney General Letitia James, is under federal indictment accused of mortgage fraud. Correspondent Scott McFarlane.
There will be some form of an initial or preliminary hearing, potentially an arraignment. That's something that likely happens in a matter of days. The Attorney General of New York would be a criminal defendant of the federal government in Virginia.
A judge has blocked the deployment of National Guard troops in the Chicago area for 2 weeks, saying there's no evidence a rebellion is brewing against the government. President Trump says,
I looked at crime numbers in Chicago. They're through the roof. And I have a governor who stands up every day and tells us how wonderful Chicago is. I don't, just a lie.
President Trump's son-in-law and Middle East advisor Jared Kushner helped broker the Gaza ceasefire in Cairo. He said he hopes for a lasting peace.
To bring the countries of the region closer together and to get people focused on what we have in common.
CBS News Brief. I'm Michael Toscano.
Concern about injured Packers. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. The Green Bay Packers host the Cincinnati Bengals on Sunday, kickoff at 3:25. Matt LaFleur was asked why the team's place kicker, Brandon McManus, has been added to the injury list.
Brandon McManus listed on the injury report. I'm assuming it's from those tackles that he had to make in the game.
It is not from the tackles, no. Yeah, that's a major concern right now. So we'll see how he's doing today and tomorrow. And, you know, we'll have a plan ready to go.
I asked McManus what happened to him and the injury to his kicking leg.
I was kicking, warming up. I had kickoffs earlier in the day, and then I was warming up for field goals. I kind of felt a tug against my quad. I gave it a couple minutes, tried again. Yeah, I just shut it down for the day. Yeah, didn't want to make it worse.
Baseball, Brewers against the Cubs tonight at Wrigley Field. If Milwaukee wins, they advance to the National League Championship. Next week. If they lose, it's game 5 in Milwaukee this coming Saturday with Sports on Mike Clemens.
On your entertainment beat, I'm Pete Schwabe. It's called show business for a reason, and oftentimes the business part is what drives creative or really talented people away, such is the case with actor Chauncey Leopardi, best known for his role as Squints in The Sandlot. The actor recently sat down with People.com and said that as an actor, it was the constant auditions and the grind that made him step back from the biz. These days, Leopardi is busy raising his 5 children and running a cannabis business, saying it was a pretty smooth transition as he always had a life outside Hollywood. He also added that he really enjoyed his life as an actor. His credits also include Freaks and Geeks and Father of the Bride. Here's another really cool thing that came out of the interview. Squints says he still keeps in touch with Smalls, Benny the Jet, and Ham. He says they have multiple group chats and not only text quite often, but actually see each other at sports signings and events. Great story. For more showbiz fun, tune in to Nightlight with me, Pete Schwabe, weeknights from 6 to 8 p.m. on the Civic Media Radio Network.
Catch Farm Report updates throughout the day from the Midwest Farm Report, right here on 93.5 The Tap.
I'm meteorologist Mace Michaels. Tonight, mostly cloudy, an isolated shower or two, and a low in the low 50s. Sun's back for tomorrow and Saturday. Highs in the mid-60s. Highs in the upper 60s and breezy with increasing clouds Sunday and another shower chance. Right now, it's 53.
Ahoo, this is Robert Pilot of Nativerts Radio.
On our show, we share stories from Turtle Island highlighting the people and issues shaping our communities. From protecting water to treaty rights and preserving languages and traditions, we cover it all. Hear voices like Arvina Martin of Emerge Wisconsin, Dr. Stately, Robert Lilligren, and more. Because Native issues are human issues, and human issues are Native issues.
Native Roots Radio, weeknights at 8 on your local Civic Media radio station.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba.
Stand-up comedian, Mr. Jim Flanagan.
Can I tell you my Culver's hack? I always get the kids meal because it's everything you want. I don't have children, right. So I'm just pretending I have like a 9-year-old named James in the back of my car.
I'm not proud of this, but I'll go through a drive-thru like a Taco Bell. I'll act like I'm on the phone and go, what else did you want? Okay. But it's all just for me. It's like 6 tacos, nachos, Bel Grande, and I can mouth through all of that.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba. Weeknights from 6 till 8 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app. Pat Kreitlow.
Friday morning, Mike Clemens will have all the details on tonight's Game 4 at Wrigley between the Brewers and Cubs and preview Sunday's Packer game against the Bengals.
Mornings with Pat Kreitlow, weekdays 6 to 9.
You're listening to pre-recorded content.
Wherever it may lead, and having fun doing it. Welcome back to the Tunnel Ball Show on the Civic Media Radio Network. 35 minutes now past the hour of 2 o'clock. Glad to have you along on a busy Thursday afternoon, October 9th, 2025. But a good one. Many thanks to Trigvi Olsen and Ula and Kaya for stopping by the studios here while they're in town. Always great to hear from them. Don't forget, coming up in hour 2, going to give that giveaway to the brand new Packers film. No Packers, no life, so stick around for that. Also playing some cuts from after last night's Brewers loss. They'll be back in action tonight against the Cubbies at Wrigley Field starting at just after 8 o'clock. 8:08, first pitch from Wrigley Field. The pregame show just after 7:30 on many of our networks. We'll talk about that in hour number 2 as well. But right now, turning the page and talking about a topic that I know it's going to affect a lot of our listeners across the entire state of Wisconsin. Now, I'm an Apple guy, so although I use a little bit of Microsoft stuff at work, but for many people that have Microsoft as the operating systems, this is a huge issue. Windows 10, the support is scheduled to go away here coming up on October 14th, and here to tell us about that, what's being done about it, what you could do about it. Julius Shea, who is the associate at Wisberg and the Wisconsin Right to Repair campaign. Julius in studio. We love it when that happens. How are you?
I'm doing great today. Thanks for having me on, Todd. How are you?
I'm great. It's a Thursday. It's sunny. It's fall. I couldn't be better.
Oh, yeah. Wisconsin's a great place for fall.
It really is. As we do with everyone on the show first time on, tell us a little bit about yourself. Where did you grow up and how you got involved in Wisberg?
Yeah, absolutely. So I'm actually originally from New Jersey. Moved to Texas for a little bit and then moved here to Madison last year. I've been loving it so far. It's pretty great. A little colder than Texas for sure.
But, exactly, yeah.
Wisberg is a nonprofit organization. We typically work on a lot of issues surrounding consumer advocacy and environmental issues. And this just happens to be something that fits in both of those wheelhouses right now, the end of Windows 10. I got involved because I've been really interested in environmental issues and things that affect consumers and wanted to fight back against some of those things.
And Wisberg, is it primarily some people that might hear a lot about through the University of Wisconsin-Madison, is a student organization? Is it independent? Do you work together? Because you hear primarily younger people involved with or working for Wisberg.
Yeah, well, we do have a student chapter here at UW-Madison, and it's a part of a nationwide group called PIRG. That's the Public Interest Research Group. And we do a lot of advocacy across the country about issues like this.
All right, very cool. So you're full-time with them right now? Or,
yep.
All right, very good. So tell us a little bit about this, because I know for a lot of people, they might not – I have not heard this reported very widely, number one. And so tell us what this issue is in terms of Windows 10 and Microsoft operating systems.
Yeah, absolutely. So Windows 10 is – pretty widespread. You may have used it on your own computer. You may use it at your school, your library, your place of work. It's actually one of the most popular operating systems in the world. But about 4 years ago, Microsoft announced its successor, Windows 11. And when they did that, they cut off support for a lot of computers. So around 2021, when they announced Windows 11, only very new computers at that time could upgrade to Windows 11. Nowadays, about 4 years later, Microsoft is planning to cut support for Windows 10 forever. So they're going to stop sending security updates automatically, and those computers aren't going to stay up to date with new features and with the software support to keep them safe from viruses, malware, other things like that.
And this is pretty scary for a lot of folks that use Microsoft or Windows 10 because, of course, there's online banking now, and we're paying for, you know, I'll speak for myself, sometimes getting lazy and ordering things through Amazon off of our laptops or whatever. We're putting our credit card information in there. So, you know, our lives are much more vulnerable. And when you think about not having that those safety measures in place or be able to call up to a help desk, for lack of a better term, that's pretty concerning, I think, for a lot of Wisconsinites.
Absolutely. It certainly is. And Windows 10, once again, I mentioned it a little bit, but about 440 million computers right now still run Windows 10, so it's still certainly a very popular operating system, but Microsoft is just saying that it's going to be obsolete. So it's their decision that this is going to be something that won't be supported anymore so that they can push people to potentially throw away their current computer, buy a new one, even if it works perfectly fine. So that's what's
weird to me is that, by the way, we're talking with Julia Shea, who is an associate with Wisberg here on the Right to Repair campaign. I think, you know, my old college professor used to draw a dollar sign on the board and say it all comes down to that. It feels like, as you said, Microsoft is just trying to force people into A, buying new computers, and B. So I mean, if you have a computer that's running Windows 10, is there any way at this point to upgrade your operating system only, or are people potentially going to be forced to buy new computers?
Well, according to Microsoft, or for what they would like for you to do, they would like you to throw away or get rid of your old computer and buy a new one. However, that's not the only answer. There are a lot of other operating systems other than Windows that you could download on your computer that will continue to get support for years and years to come, such as Linux or Chrome OS, and those are all free to download online.
Shows you how old I am, because yeah. I've never heard of either one of those two things. Uh-huh. But also, like I say, I've for a number of years now, I don't know how long it's been, at least 8 or 10 years, I switched over to Apple products, and so I don't think about that, but I know for a lot, I mean, are there more Microsoft operating systems, more people using that than say Safari and iOS?
Across the world, yeah, it's one of the most popular operating systems. But yeah, did you want to hear something crazy too, Todd?
Please let me know.
Absolutely, yeah. So the weirdest thing about this all is that Microsoft is still planning to write and develop those security updates for Windows 10. The only catch is they're not going to give them to you unless you pay $30 for 1 year of additional software updates. Or if you're a business, it's $61. Or if you don't want to pay, you can sign up for OneDrive, which costs money every month. And you can back up your whole computer to their servers, and that's going to cost additional money too. But
yeah. So to put it down there where the chickens could get at it, this is just one big scam, essentially, from Microsoft.
It's unfortunate, and the ball's in their court, honestly. They have the opportunity to do the right thing to protect their own consumers from future security attacks, to keep supporting people who depend on these computers, but it's up to them, and we'll see if they decide to act in about 5 days, I suppose.
So, yeah, this is scheduled to all end on October 14th, next Tuesday, I believe. So what is Wisberg doing to try to combat this? Is it just bringing awareness, or is there something that they either legislatively or the average listener out there across Wisconsin could do?
Yeah, there's a lot of things that you can do. We currently are in partnership. USPERG is in partnership with a few other organizations in the Right to Repair campaign. And we are sending a letter to Microsoft, an open letter. It's got about a little over 15,000, 16,000 signatures right now, urging Microsoft to do the right thing and to extend free support for Windows 10. Some of our colleagues over in Europe actually already got some success with that. And for European users only, Microsoft is extending free updates for another year.
Of course they are.
Yeah.
Of course they are.
They get all the good stuff first, right?
As if people didn't need another reason to move to Europe these days.
Right.
Now you got this going on.
Yeah. But we do have that petition open. It's a letter that's open on our website, and you can check that out at www.pirg.org.
Okay.
And here in Madison, too, if you're in Wisconsin, we're also hosting a Fix-a-thon. It's going to be a free event on Saturday, October 18th. That is International Repair Day, where you're invited to bring in your computer. And if it's running Windows 10 and can't get any more security updates, we'll help you install a free open source operating system like Linux or Chrome OS on it so you can continue to get those free updates and remain secure on
now,
the internet.
Now, that's fantastic. That's news people can use. So if you listen to us on WMDX here in Madison, or you want to take a little drive into Madison, tell us again where and when that's going to be, and Zomers will put that in the show notes for people as well.
Yeah, absolutely. So that is going to be on Saturday, October 18th. That's International Repair Day. It'll be downtown here in Madison at the Madison Central Library, a beautiful location.
Literally see it from where we're at, right on the street. Yeah.
Go ahead. And it'll be from 10 a.m. to 3 p.m.
Okay. I love this about Wisburg, because you bring awareness, you're trying to put up a good fight, but you're also providing a service, and God love you for doing it for free for folks to come and find a solution as well. That's kind of the whole ball of wax, in my opinion.
Oh, definitely. Thank you so much. Yeah.
Yeah. No, I think it's great. And look, I mean, I'm not here to beat up on people, but I think this is just another example of where corporations have just gotten out of control in many cases. And correct me if I'm wrong, if Microsoft wanted to, they could continue to service a Windows 10.
Oh, absolutely. They're already making those updates. It doesn't cost them anything to just let everyone have them instead of charge people $30 for just one more year of software updates. I know for sure. My grandpa is not going to see that little option pop up on his computer and say, yeah, let me pay $30 more for a year of updates. He's just going to go on and every virus in the world.
Right. Yeah, every virus. Or, and we didn't even get into this, but there's also the waste of throwing computers away and what that
absolutely
does.
No, that's definitely a great point, Todd. About this event alone, we're estimating, could bring worldwide up to 1.6 billion pounds of e-waste. E-waste is a really quickly growing waste stream here in the U.S. and abroad as well. And even though it's not really a large percentage of the waste stream by poundage, it's one of the most harmful, because things in your computers and your electronics that you're throwing away, they contain copper, lithium, cobalt, all these heavy metals that are not only really resource intensive to mine, but they're also really harmful to the environment once they get thrown away and once they potentially leak into the environment.
Let's go to the phone lines quickly, 855-752-4842. Jack in Merrimack. Jack, you had a question or a comment on this this Microsoft update or lack thereof. Go ahead, Jack.
Two things. Comment number one, which is I've got both operating systems, Apple and Windows. My Apple computer, I have purposely not updated to the most modern operating system, because I have a whole bunch of really expensive software that I got with the computer, and things like the full Adobe suite, the full Microsoft Office system, and they're all 32-bit programs, and the modern operating system, the latest operating system, will not operate those on a Macintosh.
Interesting.
So, those programs won't work at all.
Yeah.
So I can't really update if I want to keep that very good software.
Yeah.
The second thing I have is a question, and the question is, if you have a VPN, you can make the internet think that you're located in another country, for example, in Europe. Would I be able to get the update free by using going through my VPN to get those updates?
Great question, Jack. Do we know the answer to that, Julius?
So that is a really great question, Jack. I personally don't know. I've never tried that before. But I mean, potentially that could be a solution. They are only giving that free year of updates in Europe without any strings attached. Here in the U.S., if you want those quote-unquote free updates, you do have to sign Microsoft's little letter, and you have to like let them back up your computer to OneDrive, and they'll charge you for the storage, of course. But yeah, no, Jack, you brought up a good point too with the software support. It's tough. That's another way they do that to you.
Julia Shia from the associate from Wisburg on Wisconsin Right to Repair campaign. Thank you very much for being here. Great information. We'll put all the information in our show notes. Come back again. We'd love to see you.
Thank you so much, Don.
Our pleasure. Stay tuned. A little Brewers update for you next. You're listening to the Todd Allball Show across Wisconsin on the Civic Media Radio Network.
Connecting audiences, powering brands. This is Civic Media. Learn more at civicmedia.us/advertise.
Does a 2025 federal law cut funding for some emergency broadcast alerts? Yes. A law signed by President Donald Trump on July 24th rescinds $9 billion, including $1.1 billion from the Corporation for Public Broadcasting, or CPB. CPB, which funds NPR, PBS, and affiliates, announced it would shut down. Smaller rural stations rely heavily on CPB for weather and emergency alerts. Wisconsin stations got $8.5 million in 2024. The cuts led to a back and forth between Representative Derek Van Orden and Senator Tammy Baldwin on X over whether emergency broadcast alerts would be affected. I'm Trisha Young for Wisconsin Watch. Fact briefs are bite-sized fact checks of trending claims produced by Wisconsin Watch and GigaFact. Read more at wisconsinwatch.org.
I'm Dan Schaefer. Let's recombobulate. In recent weeks, the level of activity from Immigrations and Customs Enforcement, or ICE, has increased quite a bit. There was a raid in Manitowoc at a Walmart parking lot where dairy workers were known to congregate, a series of arrests in Madison, and in Milwaukee, ICE is looking to expand its operations significantly by seeking office space downtown to go along with a new field office on the city's northwest side. This has been concerning for many, and not without reason. A recent large-scale ICE raid in an apartment building in Chicago saw reports of armed federal agents breaking down doors, U.S. citizens detained for hours on end, and children being dragged from their homes in the middle of the night. While the American immigration system has a host of problems, this kind of violent show of force is not an acceptable way to address these problems. And ICE also just received an injection of $45 billion in the One Big Beautiful Bill, so it is imperative for all of us to hold ICE accountable and speak out when things go too far. Right now, things are going way too far.
Find all of Dan's work at the Recombobulation Area.
Where working people come to talk. It's the Rick Smith Show, weeknights at 9 on the Civic Media Radio Network. Join me for an honest approach to the issues American working families care about. No talking points, no focus groups. Get ready for a heavy dose of democracy, fairness, grit, and no apologies. It's current affairs from a working class labor perspective. Facts are center, science is real, and everyone gets a seat at the table. The Rick Smith Show, weeknights at 9 on the Civic Media Radio Network.
Hey everybody, Todd Allball here. If you've been to a Wisconsin sports event, especially a football game, you've heard his voice.
First and 10, Wisconsin.
That's Badger Public Address announcer Mike Mankey. Join us Friday afternoon at 2:30 as we catch up with the Badger legend during UW Homecoming Week. How does he come up with those iconic calls?
Run, Dane!
And what are his best Badger moments? Join us for a conversation with Mike Mankey Friday at 2:30 on the Todd Allball Show.
As Wisconsin is saying the word bag instead of bag, this is the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to pre-recorded content.
Truth wherever it may lead and having fun doing it. Welcome back to the Todd Allball Show on the Civic Media Radio Network. It is now 8 minutes before the hour, 3 o'clock. Don't forget, stick around. Gonna have some fun games. Your chance to win world premiere. You ever been to a VIP world premiere? Ever gone and see, like, you know, you see in Hollywood, they have a premiere? I'd never been to one until I went to just a bit outside the store of the 82 Brewers with our friends Sean Hannish, Kelly Call, and Paul Jaconi Berry last year at the Marcus Theater in Brookfield. Well, here now, we're at another one. Another great film coming out called No Packers, No Life, From Tokyo to Title Town. We'll play the trailer again for you. Hour two, one of the producers of the film, Sean Hannish, is going to help us kick this off today, tomorrow, and Monday. For the next three, or today, including today, tomorrow, and Monday, we're going to be giving away a pair of tickets to this world premiere valued over $100. Going to be a reception for you. Some of the former Packers are going to be there. The filmmakers are going to be there. Then you get a chance to watch this in the beautiful Marcus Theater in Brookfield. And it's a good time had by all. And we're going to give you a chance to call in and win tickets here in hour number two. Summers?
He's going to be here?
Yes.
I did not know that.
Well, it was a surprise. It was a surprise, I guess. Maybe I kind of blew it. Anyway, yes, Sean's going to be StreamYarding in, I believe.
Exciting.
Anyway, the Brewers, speaking of a little bit earlier here, Milwaukee Brewers last night in Wrigley Field were beaten by the Chicago Cubs 4-3. All the scoring once again happened in the first couple of innings. Quinn Priester, who has been just fabulous most of the regular season, was in his hometown. He saw the World Series there, rooting for the Cubs, back in front of family. And, you know, maybe he just kind of got in his head, but he didn't even last a full inning, and the Cubs were off to a victory. But here's what I loved about this, when Murph went out to the mound, manager Pat Murphy, he stopped him because Priester was just going to head to the dugout, and Murphy stopped him, put his hand on his shoulder, and looked at him and basically said, look, keep your head in the game. We're going to need you. Vote of confidence there by Murph. But I also love the fact that Priester took full responsibility. Here he is talking to our own Mike Clemens, our great sports reporter, in the Brewers clubhouse last night in Chicago after the game.
Very frustrated. Very frustrated with that first inning, the only inning. You know, command wasn't good. Stuff wasn't coming out the way, you know, I'd wanted it to. And ultimately, it falls onto me to make an adjustment. You know, it's going to be different every day. You're going to have different circumstances to have to work with and battle through. And it's up to, you know, pitcher making an adjustment to get us, you know, at least give us a chance, get the ball in play. And didn't do that today. Didn't give us a chance. And, you know, everyone else played real well, with the exception of myself. So. Definitely feel like that's, you know, entirely on me.
Gotta love a guy like that who takes all the responsibility, Quinn Priester, after the game. Here's Pat Murphy on Quinn Priester.
I think the moment got to him a little bit. I think this is, again, he's not technically a rookie, but it's his first postseason appearance and had a long layoff. It's at his hometown. Yeah, I feel for him because that's not typically how he's done this year, and it gave them a jump start and was the difference in the game.
Pat Murphy last night talking about Quinn Priester. Also the fact that they had this early scoring once again on both the Cubs and the Brewers. Yelly led it off with a home run, I believe, in the first. And then it was Katie barred the door with the Cubs scoring four runs off of Priester in the first. Here's Murphy and all that early scoring.
Both teams come out firing. You know, that's what it's about. You know, they know us. We know them. There's a lot of emotion in the game, and it says something for both teams, really. Tonight, the Cubs got the best of it.
Pat Murphy last night also went on to talk about the great bullpen of the Brewers last night after Priester left the mound.
We had some great pitching performances tonight, too. Quintana gave us 3+, and the job Patrick did, the job Anderson did, you know, to give us a chance. I thought those three guys in particular were outstanding, and to shut the Cubs down for 8 innings in their home park, with what an electric environment for them.
And finally, former Brewers manager, now managing for the evil Cubs, Craig Counsell, on how the Cubs responded to being down 2-0.
It's fun and stressful in the same sentence and the same light, and I think you feel both emotions a lot. But you know, you're playing to play tomorrow, and that, you know, that can't help but give you something else, right? It just has to. And I thought we played with that urgency, especially in the first. We just did a great job in the first inning. We had really good at bats. I thought, you know, the Michael Homer, yes, great. Nico getting on base right away again, like, it's just it's not going to be a one-run inning. You're going to have a tough inning again. And I thought, you know, we did that really, really well. And it makes a difference. Every run is so hard to come by. And so we put together that really beautiful inning, and you have to play like that. You kind of pull out all the stops, and you, if that gives you an advantage, you try to take advantage. You try to use it as much as you can.
All right, there you go. There's a Craig Counsell from the Cubs on their win last night, facing elimination. They do so again tonight. Now take a nap maybe early in the evening, because it's another late nighter tonight, as the Brewers will try to win the divisional series once again tonight. The Cubs have to win or they're done. The pregame show gets underway at 7:30. 7:30 with the first pitch just after 8 o'clock at Wrigley Field. You can hear it live on WRCE in Richland Center, WISS in Oshkosh, WCQM in Park Falls, and WBZH in Hayward, Wisconsin. Over the air. Terrestrial radio, as they say. Can't stream it. That belongs to the rights, belong to someone else. But let's go, crew. Let's wrap this up. Brewer magic, Euchre magic. I have a good feeling about tonight. Neither team has officially named their starting pitchers yet. Come on back in hour two. We are going to give away two tickets to the world premiere of No Packers, No Life. You can be there with me after this.
You are listening to 93.5 The Tap, WCFW HD2 Chippewa Falls, W228EP Eau Claire, and streaming everywhere on the Civic Media app.
This is CBS News on the Hour, sponsored by O'Reilly Auto Parts.
I'm Michael Toscano. With Israel's final approval of the deal with Hamas for a ceasefire in Gaza and hostage release, the Israeli military has 24 hours to pull back its forces to an agreed-upon line. President Trump commented on his plan moving forward.
And the amazing thing is all of the countries over there, from Qatar to Saudi Arabia to UAE to all of them, I mean, the rich ones, the less than rich ones, they've all come together, something which is amazing, actually.
Eager for the bloodshed, displacement, and destruction to stop, many Palestinians in Gaza are relieved, as we hear from correspondent Deborah Pattis.
The feeling is indescribable, said Noor al-Shakhnoubi. Thank God the war has ended, and we are alive. Insha Ahmed had already started imagining her future once again. I'm